Radio City, New York. From Radio City, New York, the glamorous wonderland of radio in the towering 70-story RCA building, the National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 54, Affliction, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred Collins. And welcome, everyone, to the first broadcast of the second series of plays under the Radio City Playhouse banner. For those of you who are not familiar with Radio City Playhouse as it was presented on Monday nights for the past year, may we say that our aim is to bring you adult entertainment in the form of good stories, expertly told and expertly acted. Our story today is about a young and attractive woman with a speech impediment. The leading role is performed by Miss Inga Adams, whose versatility, talent, and charm have won her a host of friends and admirers. Co-starred with her is the brilliant young actor, currently appearing in the New York hit detective story, Alexander Scorby. Here then is our show. Inga Adams as Tally Hayden, Alexander Scorby as Alan Hunt in Affliction, Attraction 54, on Radio City Playhouse.
High in the sorrows of the world is an affliction that tortures the wounded heart and fills the chest with tears. In the same constricted, gasping breath that draws from fools their gaping, chuckling leers. Her name was Tally. Tally Hayden. An odd, soft-sounding name that he said over and over to himself. The way they met was strangely unfortunate. On a lonely country road, she ran over his little terrier with her car. It was autumn in a park near the ocean. The hot dog stands were nailed up like coffins burying the summer. But the air was full of tang and promise. Alan Hunt had taken Nick, his little terrier pup, for a run in the woods.
Sick him, Nick. That's it.
Oh, you're the dumbest dog a man ever owned. Don't you know that squirrels climb trees? Dopey pooch.
Nick! Nick, stay away from the road! Nick, get off the road! Nick!
She was out of the car, kneeling beside the whimpering little dog before he got there himself. She had a strange effect on him. He could see through this lovely face that was filled with agony at the suffering she had caused a little dog, into eyes that looked upon the world through a cloud of despair. Tally Hayden stuttered.
I didn't even see him. He just ran right out in front of the car.
I think his leg's broken.
I didn't. Tried to miss him, but he just ran right in front of me.
You couldn't help it. Take it easy, Nick.
Can't we get him to a doctor or something?
I'm afraid it's not much use.
Please, we've got to try. Maybe a vet could save him. I'm so terribly sorry.
Oh, Nick, take it easy. Take it easy.
Can't we find a vet somewhere? I'll drive you. You can't just let him die on the road. Got to do something. Let's try to save him, please.
Nick had a broken leg, and the veterinarian suggested that he be gently done away with. But the girl with the great sad eyes and the lovely face pleaded as though her very life depended on it. So the vet, because he loved people who loved dogs, set Nick's leg. Before long, Nick was better, but he now walks with a strange, dignified limp that reminds Alan of a slightly drunken duck. One Sunday, a month later, Alan took the little dog around to Tally Hayden's house, just to prove to her that he was almost as good as new.
Sit up, Nick. Sit up. That's it. When she answers the door, stick your paw out. Up now. Up. That's it. Now, hold it.
Yes?
You must be Mrs. Hayden.
Yes, I am.
Quiet, Nick. I'm Alan Hunt.
Hunt?
Well, yes, didn't Tally tell you about me?
No, she didn't.
Well, is she in?
What did you want to see her about, Mr. Hunt?
Well, I wanted to show her Nick. Didn't she tell you about the accident?
Accident?
Yes, she hit Nick in her car, broke his leg.
What?
Well, she felt so badly about it, I wanted her to see that he's all better. He waddles a bit, but he's as good as new. I thought maybe she'd like to know, that's all.
Well, I'll give her the message. I don't quite understand it, but... Well, Tally doesn't tell me very much anymore. That's the way with children sometimes, Mr. Hunt. I'll give her your message.
Well, is there any reason why I shouldn't tell her myself, if she's in, that is?
Well, she's lying down at the moment.
Well, would you mind telling her I'm here?
All right, Mr. Hunt. Come in.
Thank you. I don't mean to intrude, but I'd like to see her very much.
Sit down in the living room, Mr. Hunt. Tally's upstairs. I'll tell her you're here. I don't think she'll be long.
No hurry. Now, sit down and keep quiet, you mutt. I don't think the old girl approves of dopey-looking pooches. Shh, now, quiet. Be on your best behavior for once.
Well, hello. I'm Jean Hayden, Tally's sister.
How do you do?
Please sit down. Tally's upstairs. She'll be down in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mother said something about an accident.
Oh, it wasn't serious. Nick got in the way of her car and had his leg broken. Vet wanted to do away with him, but Miss Hayden...
There's no reason why you shouldn't call her Tally, is there?
Well, no, I suppose there isn't. Well, anyway, she pleaded so vehemently that we decided to set the leg and see how it works. I thought she might be pleased to see how well Nick looks.
She didn't tell us anything about it.
Really?
It was probably my brother's car. Tally borrows it occasionally. Mother's forbidden her to drive, and I suppose she didn't want us to find out.
Well, she seems like a very good driver. She drove me back to the vet's. The accident wasn't her fault.
It isn't that. It's just that Tally's... Well... Rather strange sometimes.
Strange?
You must have noticed.
Noticed what?
Her speech. You must have noticed that.
Well, of course I did. I didn't think there was anything strange about it.
Actually, if she'd think before she speaks, she wouldn't have so much trouble. Sometimes I don't think she realizes how frightfully embarrassing it is to other people to have to listen to her.
Do you realize how embarrassing it must be for her?
She's used to it by now. She's stuttered ever since I can remember.
Don't you like your sister, Miss Hayden?
Like her? Tally? But of course I like her. I'm her sister. I love her very much. And I'm terribly sorry for her.
I'm sure you are. I think she's the best-looking girl I've ever met.
She is, isn't she? Except when she talks. Sometimes it's worse than others. She was in a play once at school, and once she got on the stage, she was fine. The minute she came off, the stuttering started in worse than ever.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Hunt. Tally will be right down. She insisted on doing her hair up. I told it was only a casual Sunday call, but you know what girls are.
I'm learning something every day.
Well, so this is Nick. What a pretty little dog. Here, little dog. Here. Oh, my, I don't think he likes
down,
me.
Down, Nick, down, down.
Oh. Tally says you're a writer, Mr. Hunt.
Yes, I am.
What sort of things do you write?
Oh, almost anything, so long as I get paid for it.
I always had the opinion that authors had long hair and refused to shave.
Mother.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
No, you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, yes. Oh, here she is. Come in, Tally. Come in, dear.
Sit over here, darling, beside me.
Hello. Thought you'd like to see Nick. He walks like an elephant in high heels, but otherwise he's fine.
Hello, Nick.
Put your paw out. Shake hands just to show Miss Hayden there's no hard feelings. That's a boy.
Oh, Nick.
Isn't that the cutest thing?
Just the cutest thing.
I love dogs myself. He looks like Asta in the movies, don't you think so, Tally?
Well, say something to Mr. Hunt, dear.
I'm very glad that Nick's all right. I was...
Slowly, dear. Slowly. Just think about what you're saying.
I felt very... Badly.
Well, it wasn't your fault.
There's something about a little...
dog.
Yes. That's so...
Pathetic.
Yes.
Look, Tally, walk around the block with us, will you? It's a lovely afternoon. We could go over to Central Park.
I think that would be lovely. Tally gets out so seldom. Why don't you go, dear?
All right. I'll get a coat.
Take mine. That brown one of yours looks terrible.
Oh, if you'd like to go along, Jean, why, don't worry about me. I've lots to do here in the house.
Oh, I think Mr. Hunt feels that Central Park is a place where people go in couples. Don't you, Mr. Hunt?
I think sometimes it has its advantages. Isn't that a riot, the way he runs?
I think it's mean to laugh at him.
Oh, he doesn't care. Sorry this bench is so hard. You comfortable?
I'm fine.
Look at him go. Poor old Nick.
You shouldn't laugh. It's cruel. You'll hurt his feelings.
Well, I think he's proud of it. Makes him stand out among every dog in the park.
I wonder if he likes to stand out.
Tally, can I ask you a question?
What?
Are you that sensitive about it?
No, not really. Not anymore.
Does it bother you to talk about it?
No.
Have you always started?
Since I was about 10. Sometimes it's worse than others. I was in a play once, and the moment I got on the stage, I was fine. Mostly it's with strangers. If I go into a group of people I don't know, doesn't seem to be much logic to it.
Is there anything wrong with your throat? I mean, is it a physical thing?
The doctors say not.
Your speech organs are normal?
Yes.
Then it's some sort of psychological thing, is it?
Don't feel sorry for me. I'm used to it. I've a lot to be thankful for. Good health, my family, no money troubles. I'm happy, really I am.
Can I see you again?
If you want to. Well,
could we go dancing some night?
I'm not very good at it, and I'm out of practice. I haven't been dancing for years.
You're not that old yet, Tally.
26.
And out of practice dancing?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't get asked very often. Hello?
Mrs. Hayden, is Tally there, please?
Who is this, please?
It's Alan Hunt.
Oh, just a minute.
Tally, it's for you. All right, Mother.
Hello?
Tally, have dinner with me tomorrow night.
I'd love to, Alan.
I'll pick you up at your house at 5:30, okay?
That's a long way for you to come. Why don't I meet you?
All right, same place?
At about 5:45.
See you then. Bye.
Goodbye, Alan. What did he want? Me to have dinner with him.
Aren't you seeing quite a bit of Mr. Hunt?
Yes, I guess I am.
Baby, there's no use getting into something you can't finish. You might just as well face it.
Having dinner with him isn't getting into anything.
But you like him, don't you?
Of course I like him.
Does he want to marry you?
Oh, Mother, don't be
Oh, it isn't ridiculous at all. You've been going out with him for 6 months. Oh, Tally, you know I love you. I hate to see you hurt. I don't quite know how to say this, but I'm telling you he won't marry you. No man would marry a girl that... Well, you know what I mean. You might just as well content yourself with staying home. We can have a good time getting old together. After all, I'm still pretty young. I'll probably live as long as you will. You'll never be alone, and you'll never be hurt. This way But you'll be hurt.
Mother, don't cry.
No, but there's no use getting involved. You'll fall in love with him, and you might just as well face it. He'll never get himself tied up.
Nobody said anything about getting tied up.
But you're thinking about it. Oh, stop seeing him, Tally. I'm telling you, Alan Hunt isn't the type of man to marry a woman that stutters.
Was wonderful. I wish they'd play that tune again.
I seem to remember you saying once that you weren't very good at dancing.
With you, I'm fine.
You know why?
Why?
Because you keep quiet. You're one of those people who can't dance and talk at the same time. When you talk, you walk all over my feet. It's been fun, hasn't it, Tally?
Yes. You've been kinder to me than anybody I've ever known.
Kind? I haven't been kind. Look, don't endow me with virtues I don't possess. You do that, you know. You're so intense about everything. I think you feel sorry for the sidewalk when you have to walk on it.
Alan.
No, you do. You never just like something. You either love it or hate it. Must be awfully tiring.
I think it's time I went home. It's after 1 o'clock, isn't it?
10 to. Oh.
Mother will be worrying.
I'll bet.
Why do you say that?
She's worrying, all right. I can just see her.
You don't like Mother, do you?
No, I don't.
Why?
They tear you down. She and Jean. And you don't even know it. The very word mother brings you out in a flush. Mothers weren't made in heaven, Tally. They're human beings, just like you and me. Deep down, I think you know this.
Mother may have her faults, but she loves me very much.
She hates you.
Alan!
Unconscious hatred. A horrible breaker of the human spirit. She's broken you, Tally.
I won't sit here and have you insult my mother. She's good and kind.
She isn't good and kind. Now sit still and listen to me. I knew a rich man once who had a son at college. The father had pots of money, millions. He was so afraid the kid might turn out to be just a rich man's son that he gave him an allowance of $5 a week. Didn't want him to be shiftless, wanted him to work hard, to be tough, a real man. As a result, the boy had to pick up jobs in his spare time. Between the study and the outside work, the kid had a breakdown. It was too much for him. You really think the father loved him? No, Tally, that's not love, that's hate.
I won't let you talk that way about my mother.
Did you ever notice how you start to stutter the minute the subject's brought up?
Alan, stop it. I'm going home.
Sit down. You're not going home. Not until I've said this. I'm in love with you, Tally. I want you to marry me. That's why I'm telling you your mother and Jean are back of this. There's nothing wrong with your throat. It's as normal as mine. Nothing wrong with your tongue or your teeth. Your mother, Tally. You've got to leave her.
Leave her?
Yes, and get a job. Work. Sitting around that house all day with your mother is enough to drive anybody crazy.
Job?
You could do it, Tally. Well, I know you don't need the money, but it would be so good for you.
I'd never be able to do it. Never. Mother wouldn't let me.
What do you mean, let you? You're an adult. Just tell her you're getting a job.
Slowly, layer on layer, confidence and sureness were piled on the soul of Tally Hayden. Like all living things, she responded to tenderness and consideration and gentleness. And again, like all living things, Alan Hunt discovered that by giving of himself to another, giving without stint and without thought of return, he was laying an unshakable foundation for love. He never mentioned her mother because he knew she found it painful and because he knew the building up of Tally Hayden could not be done overnight. It had to be done slowly, gradually. So first, Alan Hunt got her a job.
Tally, over here.
Well, I did just what you told me. I did everything you said and it worked.
Did you get the job?
I'll start Monday. I'm sure the...
No. Calm down and tell me from the beginning. You want a drink?
In a minute. Mm-hmm. I saw Mr. Williams. I did everything you told me.
Yeah.
Every time I felt that awful, constricting feeling, I just thought of porridge, like you said, and how limp and flat and calm it is. And then I'd relax.
Good girl.
I told him I had a tendency to stutter, and he said he didn't make any difference. I start this Monday.
Oh, Tally, I'm so glad.
I work for Miss Hartley. She's the head bookkeeper.
Right at the beginning, tell her you have a little trouble with your speech and you hope she'll be patient.
I don't have to talk much. Just use the adding machine.
It'll be terrific. They'll be crazy about you. Now, come on. Let's have that drink.
I've finished those totals, Miss Hartley.
Then let's do our check and get out of here. I've got a date.
Right away.
You call your totals out to me. The top of the column, Miss Hayden. The first one's 321.47, see it?
Yes.
Then hurry up. Let's go. I've got a date in 15 minutes.
I have...
321.47. What's the next one?
701.26.
Check.
74.31.
Check. Hurry up, Miss Hayden.
4.50.
Are you nervous?
A little.
Well, relax. Nobody's going to hurt you. If you stutter, you stutter. That's all. Oh, I don't know why Mr. Williams didn't send me somebody... Oh, well, never mind. I'll do the calling, then. Here, give me your sheet.
I'm sorry, Miss Hartley.
Give me the sheet, and I'll do the calling. 457.61.
Check.
908.65.
Oh.
Well, for heaven's sakes, just nod your head, then. If they knew the amount of work I have to do in this department, they'd have sent me somebody normal. Well, I told you, Tally. I certainly did. I told you exactly what would happen if you persisted in this ridiculous idea of working. You just can't do it.
I guess I can't.
It isn't as though we needed the money.
I've done it so much to do well.
Well, tell them you're quitting. We've enough money to last us as long as we live. You know, I think we'd better take a trip. Yes, just you and I together. I knew that Alan Hunt had no idea how sensitive you are and how terrible it is for you to suffer from such an affliction.
Mother wants me to resign, Alan.
And are you?
I guess so. After all, we don't need the money.
Money? Who said anything about money? Look, darling, this is what you've got to do. You've got to go back there tomorrow and pretend nothing happened.
No.
Miss Hartley was nasty, cruel even. Forget about it. She probably laughs at you. Well, let her. Mimics you even. Let her. What do you care? People like Miss Hartley aren't worth bothering about. It's you that matters. We can lick it, Tally, together. Please don't give up now. There are all kinds of Miss Hartleys in the world. You see them everywhere. Thoughtless, selfish people that... Tally, it doesn't matter, don't you see? Please, don't let your mother make you quit. Go back to work tomorrow. For me, Tally, please, will you?
All right, Alan. I'll go back.
Promise?
Promise.
Good. Now, I've got something to tell you. The book's coming out a week from Friday.
Oh.
Yep, they're having a reception for me at the Waldorf. I want you to come.
Alan.
I want you to get a new dress and pile your hair up on top of your head and be the assistant guest of honor.
Oh, no, Alan, not with you. Hmm? I'd embarrass you, meeting a lot of people like that, important people.
Tally, please.
I just feel as though somebody was stuffing cotton batten down my throat. Don't ask me, Alan, please.
Don't you see, Tally, this is important. It's important to me and it's very important to you.
Wouldn't be right. You'd be ashamed of me.
It's a week from Friday, Tally. And you're coming.
But I couldn't. Mother would...
Look, Tally. Someday, before very long, you're going to have to choose between me and your family. I'm not going to wait forever.
Don't eat so fast, Tally. You'll get indigestion. Oh, I wish you'd change your mind, Tally. Going down there tonight will upset you dreadfully. You've tried to do this before, and you know what's happened. You'll embarrass yourself, and you'll embarrass Alan.
I'm going, Mother.
You know what you're like with strangers. You'll choke up and go red in the face and start to perspire.
Stop it.
Well, you'll wish you were dead before the evening's over.
Where's Jean?
She's dressing. She's going to an opening with John, some new play, and don't try to change the subject.
Mother, don't cry, please.
Well, I can't help it. I know how miserable you'll be, and... Oh, we could make some candy and read and have a real relaxed, pleasant evening, and...
That's a mess. You can't find anything. Mother, where am I?
My dress! Find your dress!
Mind loaning it to me, Tally?
You knew I bought it for tonight, and you deliberately took it.
Don't get yourself into a knot, Tally.
She's not going anyway, are you, Tally?
Take it off now!
Shut up, Tally. Take it easy.
Oh, Tally!
Why, you dirty...
Take it off or I'll rip it off!
She hit me. Mother, she hit me.
You're like leeches, both of you. You knew I had a special date with Alan tonight. You just took it. And you knew I'd bought that dress especially.
Oh, Tally, put that plate down.
Tally, have you gone crazy?
You've got half a dozen men. That isn't enough. You'd like Alan, too, wouldn't you?
Yes, and don't think I couldn't get him.
I detest you, both of you. So do I.
Tally.
Hated you for a long time. Just as you've hated me. Alan told me the truth. Tear me down, both of you. Tear me down until there's nothing left. Keep me frightened, depend and afraid. Use me for company, for a doormat, for anything. But I'm through.
What?
I'm going to marry Alan, and neither one of you can stop me.
Tally.
Jean, I'll give you 1 minute to get out of that dress. And if you're not, I'll rip it off your back.
Oh, you look wonderful, wonderful. Now, just think of porridge. Limp, flabby, relaxed. Hmm? Ready?
I'm ready. Let's go in.
Love me?
Love you.
Oh, Lady Ashton. May I present my fiancée, Miss Hayden? This is Lady Ashton, darling.
How do you do, Miss Hayden?
How do you do?
And His Honor the Mayor, Miss Hayden.
How do you do?
How do you do, Miss Hayden? Alan's a lucky fellow.
And this is my special friend, Marion Waddell. She's the best actress in New York. Tally, Marion?
Hello, Tally. It's so nice to meet you. Alan's told me how wonderful you are.
It's nice to meet you, Miss Waddell. Ever since I first saw you act, I've wanted so much to talk just the way you do.
You have just heard Affliction, Attraction 54 on Radio City Playhouse. Tally was played by Inga Adams. Alan was Alexander Scorby. Other players in the cast were Ann Elsner, Marilyn Erskine, Connie Lemke, and Frank Milano. The music by Arlo. The script was written and directed by Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, a tense, absorbing story called Conqueror's Isle, starring one of radio's outstanding young actors, Bernard Grant. That's next week at this same time, Conqueror's Isle, Attraction 55 on Radio City Playhouse.
This is Fred Collins speaking. Stay tuned now for Harvest of Stars returning on NBC.